I bought my boyfriend a bag, right? Yeah. And he was like, he was dying for one. He was like, I could put all my things. Yeah. I was like, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Like, you have a thing to hold your thing.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to a very special episode of the Comment Section Show. Before I introduce my wonderful, amazing guests, I want to announce that it is the season finale. So I am dressed for the Met Gala, and that's because I wanted to, and it's my show. So on to my favorite person of the day. It's my newest guest, my last guest of season one, Saving the Best for Last, Jesse Sully.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. I'm honored.
I know. This is like, you're literally like a celebrity in my household.
Stop. So stop
your laugh
it.
Alone. There you go.
It's there it is.
Yeah, it's
the
famous.
Laugh.
The laugh.
I told Jesse last night, this is a little insider info. I messaged him. I said, hey, I'm gonna dress for the Oscars. Take it as you will. I never tell anyone. Sometimes people comment and they're like, I like how Drew always picks a theme and doesn't tell her guests. Like, I'm literally like a cowgirl. I'm an e-girl. And then today I'm dressed for the Oscars. So I told Jesse. Jesse goes, I don't have a suit, so I'll do my best. You're the complete opposite of me.
No, I actually, like, I was like, well, I could probably throw together something a little Oscar-y.
Right.
But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go as comfy as possible. Let you shine. It's your show. It's your season finale.
I love that. Yeah. I love that for us because you support women.
Hell yeah, you.
I love
that. You know, it's all the little ways.
Right? Yeah. It's more like Canadian. You know how they say Canadian formals, like jeans?
Yeah.
Jeans
yeah.
on jean? That's you. That's your vibes today.
I love the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, I'm just so over the top and extra always, if you couldn't tell.
Hell yeah. You should be, as you should be.
But on to you.
Yeah.
I am so honored to have you on my show. I think
Thank you so much.
Incredible. You and Arlo are the lights of my life. And Francesca, I'll throw her in there too. Francesca, yeah. I love you, bitch.
Francesca loves you too.
She knows how much I love her.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy because I've been following you for a long time. I literally told Jesse I was following him and Francesca before you guys got together.
Yeah.
I was peeping the flirting. I was like, oop. Like, I'm watching.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know you followed us that long. And
yeah.
She would just always like show me your videos and I started following you and I was like, it was like mutuals and I was like, I was like starstruck. I was
exactly.
like, this is the best thing
the
ever.
The feeling was mutual.
I was telling Drew that me and Francesca and even Arlo too, like at night, literally go to bed, like watching your TikToks, cracking up, dying. Like, you can hear that laugh, like in my apartment, like echoing through at like 2 a.m.
I'm honored. I'm so honored. I guess I'm part of your family.
Yeah, you are.
I'm part of your family.
You're
now
part
too,
of the family. So. The chosen family.
You and Francesca could adopt me. I'm cool with that.
That would honestly be amazing.
People tell me all the time, you should adopt me. I'm like, no, I want Jesse and Francesca to adopt me.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
Yeah,
so.
And then you could be Arlo's sibling.
I would love... Arlo's so cool, and I'm so jealous.
Arlo is so cool. I want to be Arlo when I grow up.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. How old is Arlo now?
Arlo's 13, almost 14.
No
but going on like 36.
Way.
Like, honestly, way more mature than
what's
I am.
What's Arlo's sign?
Leo. We're both Leos.
You're both Leos.
Yeah.
Okay, what's Francesca?
A Scorpio.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, spicy.
I know. Leos and Scorpios together are either like...
Match made in heaven.
Yeah, either match made in heaven or so bad.
Just hell on earth.
Yeah.
The opposite.
And we have our moments, don't get me wrong. But, you know, for the most part, it's literally heaven. So
I think that's... So, wow.
Yeah.
All is Scorpio fire? Yeah,
yeah,
right? So all fire.
Our household is fire. It's queer. It's a lot of things.
Right? And it's so... And that's a perfect transition.
Yeah.
It's our topic today. Because today, with Jesse, we're going to be talking about gender identity.
Right.
Which you are very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And I like... Love to hear your thoughts as far as like what your first initial thought is when you hear about gender identity and how it's described or how it appeals to you. Or
yeah, gender identity I think is something that is still like so insanely misunderstood because I think what's happening a lot still is people are mixing gender identity with sex.
Yeah.
So whatever you're born with, they're saying, oh no, you were born with female parts, you're gonna be a female for the rest of your life. But gender identity goes so far beyond that.
Yeah.
And it's how you express yourself, it's what you identify with.
Yeah.
And if you really can understand the simple like dichotomy between those two things.
Yeah.
I feel like people would understand trans people or gender nonconforming people so much more. It's like,
absolutely.
It's really that simple. And you can even break it down to like that cis people even have gender identity, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's how
gender
you.
Expression.
Yeah, gender expression. Yeah. And it's important to every individual, not just gender nonconforming people. So, you know, like someone once said that like we're technically all in costume. And I think that's true. Like
yeah,
we all
that's
are.
So true.
And so why is there such a big difference when, you know, I transition and I dress this way or look this way, you know?
Well, and gender is a construct.
Right.
So it's been imposed on us.
Yes.
As soon as we're born. We don't choose that when we were born. And it wasn't until recently that that started happening. Once, you know, religion and all of that happened.
Right.
That's kind of when it started really taking its shape and kind of molding culture and society as we know it now.
Right.
So that's another reason why I really loved your content, because it taught me a lot about like gender identity, gender expression, and how like it is in no way synonymous with sexuality or anything like that, which I think is so empowering, especially since Arlo is non-binary.
Yeah, correct.
So it's like it's so informative and it's so important.
Right.
Because I every time I talk about this, I get emotional. Don't tell the men. Don't. It'll ruin my street cred. But anytime I talk about like representation on a much grander scale,
yeah,
it makes me emotional because I think about how important it is to see people like you in positions of power where they have platforms,
right?
So you being a parent to someone like Arlo too, so powerful.
Thank you so much. I love that. I mean, like, I think I've told people this before that, like, I actually struggled with wanting to tell my story on TikTok and stuff because as, like, a trans man, it obviously is way more comfortable to just be like, okay, I'm just a guy. If nobody knows me on that platform, I could just start posting as a guy. No one will know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the night before I was deciding to do that, a 13-year-old DM'd me and was like, I'm struggling so much with, like, my gender and my household doesn't support me and I have no one to look up to and blah, blah, blah. And so it was in that moment that, like, I knew I was, like, it's my duty. I have to do it for that 13-year-old, for me when I was 13, and I didn't have anyone to look up to, and for, like, every young person out there. And I posted my story the next day, and that's really, like, how I even blew up on TikTok.
Yeah,
and
I know. I remember. I saw that video, and I was like, this is so incredible.
Yeah,
just, like, and the bravery it takes. It sounds corny, and I don't want to hear it, but sometimes it takes courage to post stuff like that, because
people are
truly vile on
the
internet.
Oh, my God.
You and I both know that.
Yes,
better than
I get
anybody.
vile, like, violent comments.
Same,
and
and it's truly horrid. Like, the way that some people are so incredibly triggered and upset by you just, like,
existing,
telling people you're just existing and also telling other people,
right?
Because it's just because no one's ever, like, someone hasn't ever been exposed to people like you and Arlo doesn't mean that they haven't ever existed in the history
exactly.
of time. It's like, I've never seen it, so clearly it's not real.
Yeah.
Which is ignorance.
And you know what? Like, something you and I have in common with our platforms, and I've thought about this because so many people have asked me, like, why do you think the world is so triggered by trans people or non-binary people?
Yeah.
And I always say the same thing. I think when you are so, like, shamelessly you and so brave and you're unapologetic for exactly who you are.
Yeah.
People kind of can't handle that because it triggers something inside them where they're like, I can barely just be myself as, like, a cis person. How are you able to be so comfortable that you're telling the world, like, you literally changed your body, your everything?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of another reason why, like, men come for you. It's like they see you as this woman that is so unapologetic, and that triggers something so deep in their misogyny that they literally go to bed crying at night.
Yeah.
So.
And I go to bed, I sleep like this.
Yeah, and you're sleeping like a baby.
I go to bed soundly and peacefully.
They're crying like a baby, you're sleeping like a baby. So.
And you know what? As the universe intended.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's what I would say.
Hell yeah.
And I think, too, it's another, like, point of how ingrained and, like, in an absolute chokehold the patriarchy and toxic masculinity and all of that has on the world.
Right.
That they feel so, like, compelled to tell you who you are.
Right.
Like, it's like, who?
Like, I just get
you?
The comment, like, girl, like, over and over again, but, like, girl, girl, woman, girl, always be a girl. I'm like, you took that time out of your day to say that because it didn't do anything to me.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, and it's like, who is this for?
Yeah, who is this for?
You or me, because it's not doing anything for me.
Yeah.
And then even when you, if you respond to, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
They're like, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, and it's like, you know, I think what they think is if they comment that, then I'm going to be like, wow, I am a girl. Oh, my God. I didn't
know
this.
You know what's great? I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Like, I say that all the time, especially when, in my case, when it comes to talking, like, misogynist or any sort of, like, fat phobia, transphobia, homophobia, you name it, because they have them all. Anytime I talk about stuff like that, I think to myself, I can't change you.
Yeah.
If you don't take the necessary steps to unlearn it and educate yourself, I'm sure as hell not going to do it. Yeah, like,
exactly.
And, if when it comes to me, you already don't like women.
Right,
what
exactly.
What makes you think you're going to listen to a woman
exactly.
tell you, hey, that's not nice to say.
Yeah.
No. That's why I cut that part out. I cut out the middleman. I'm just going to hurt your feelings. That's just how it is for me. So.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Bleep.
Bleep. I think it's another like point to it, too, is that you are almost always expected to be respectful in the mm-hmm. face of being openly disrespected. Mm-hmm. Like, they expect you to take the high road always. Why?
Always.
Always. They yeah. do it to me, and I know they do it to you.
Oh, they do. And, you know, it's hard on my platform because obviously, you know, a lot of it's with my kid.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our following is young. So I do always try to be, you know, as respectful
like
as I can.
Yeah.
But it's not my job, like you said, to teach these people.
Oh.
And my job is to comfort young people, not to teach people who already have hate in their hearts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to change them. Like you
exactly.
said, like they're not going to listen to a woman when they already hate a woman. They're not
yeah.
going to listen to a trans guy when they think trans people should die. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, what am I going to do for you?
And that shouldn't be expected of you.
Yeah,
too.
It's really not my job. And like, you know, you just like listed all the phobias and like people are always like, you know, like, is it a fear? And I always say like, they're not scared of us. They're scared of something inside
exactly.
themselves.
I was
and
just about
when
to
you're
say.
Scared of something inside yourself, like, what am I going to do for you? You got to dig deep. You got to go to therapy. I can't help you.
I was just about to say, we talked about that in my last episode too. Therapy could do wonders
for
you,
babe. It can do wonders.
And it could literally set you free.
I feel like you should almost like be born a man and then just have to go to therapy.
It's a requirement.
Yeah.
Like, I literally think like getting a driver's license.
Yeah.
On there, it should say, have you gone to therapy?
Yeah.
And it's going to say, no. And they're like, sorry, I can't give it to you.
Exactly.
You got to meet the requirements.
And then I promise every single guy would because they need their trucks. And
that's right.
they need their lifted
Ford
trucks.
F-150s. Yeah. They're Toyota Tacomas.
Yeah.
I mean, what would they do without them?
I know.
How would anyone know how manly they are if they didn't have that big truck?
Yeah. I want to say something else of how big they're, but
anyway. That too.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's like, it's also too, like you said, it's a jealousy thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yes.
Because it's rooted in like envy
mm-hmm.
because they're thinking to themselves, like, I am so insecure and I
right.
hate myself.
Yes.
And how is this person that the world has taught me should hate themselves? How are they navigating life and not hating
exactly,
themselves?
Exactly.
So they get so like violent and angry.
Yeah. And it literally triggers something so deep inside them because
yeah.
the society has ingrained these things in them. And they're yeah. like, I don't understand why you're posting your whole life, your
exactly.
whole story, and you're loving yourself.
Exactly.
Like, this is so scary.
They're
what do
like,
I do?
Yeah. they like short circuit. They start like.
It's a horror film to them.
No, it really is. They're like, wait a second. Yeah. Like their whole world.
Something's
comes
not computing.
Yeah.
It's that TikTok,
wait,
butterfly in the sky.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, then all the numbers are going
yeah,
around
yeah.
them. They're trying to like truly understand, like,
yeah.
the world has taught me that I should hate these people and they should mm-hmm. hate themselves. And
yep.
so it's jealousy more than anything.
Yeah.
Go to
absolutely.
Therapy.
If you actually like look at like a lot of like different tribes, different societies throughout history, even modern ones,
yeah.
That aren't like Western society
mm-hmm.
and aren't, you know, completely just destroyed by like modern religion, they
yeah.
actually like see people that have multiple genders or
yeah.
change genders as like the elite people in society.
Yeah.
And they're like the elders and they like look up to them and they go to them for advice.
Yeah.
And like, so it really just shows you it's a societal issue.
And that's such a good point. Cause even like I'm Samoan, so we have a third gender in my
right.
culture as well.
Yes.
So do a lot of indigenous cultures
right.
do. And I think it's so like absolutely wild that they think like modern civilization, which is started from like colonization and
mm-hmm.
then the pillaging of culture,
right?
Rape and pillage of all culture,
right?
And they're like, this is it. This is the real world right here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the hundreds of years before that. Just
no.
focus on these,
or
like,
even just the culture still existing right now.
Yeah.
But like, they only see their little like white Western culture. You
yeah,
know?
And they're like, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. There's nothing else.
They're...
I checked.
yeah.
I checked, and they said that's it. Just us.
Yeah.
So now that we've kind of like opened the door for mm-hmm. what we're going to talk about today, for those of you who don't know, what we like to do in the comment section is we bring videos here that I've been tagged in and we like rip them apart, make fun of them, make
hell
jokes,
yeah.
but also teach. We're choosing to teach, but not people that hate us.
Yes.
We're teaching people that want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
big difference.
Period. Exactly. That's the only time I will ever teach anybody. So for this first video that I got tagged in, I just like to give little summaries of them. So this is basically a person who's explaining how they've identified as, quote, pretty much all the letters in the LGBTQ+, and they kind of go through their journey of being born female, identifying as a lesbian, then they were non-binary, then trans, now they identify as queer because that is the overarching term and they don't really need to define it so specifically.
Right.
And I feel like, again, it takes a lot of courage and bravery totally. To post things like that, mm-hmm. especially on TikTok.
Definitely.
Because TikTok's extra rotten. Like every social media platform has like trolls and has terrible people on it.
Right.
Something about TikTok, man. No, you get on the wrong side, and it's...
I know. I mean, for me, it's actually Instagram's worst, but really? I don't know why that is.
That's actually really fair to say. That's actually true, because my friend Cirrus, who's non-binary...
Yeah. Oh, my God, on Instagram.
Yeah, they told me that Instagram's way, way, way worse.
Yeah, like, death threats. Like, I think because I'm on the right side of TikTok for the most part,
that's
like...
That's true.
I get them, don't get me wrong, but it's just not as savage as Instagram.
And it's, like, it's just... And any facet of putting yourself out there like that and then garnering an audience to watch, it's like the best and worst thing in the world.
Totally.
Like it could be.
I always just try to tell myself, focus on how much more positivity, but.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's why like sometimes I'll talk about like the negative shit I get a lot, but like I'm like, it's like 98% positive and that little two.
Exactly.
It's killer sometimes, but for the most part, it's like, it far outweighs the bad.
Right.
The good always far outweighs the bad. And honestly, I think if we weren't built so differently, I don't think a lot of people couldn't handle it.
No. I think that's why a lot of people don't. Like, I think they try to post and stuff and then they're like, oh my God, that's the comment section, you know? Like, literally.
Do you ever get people asking you, like, how do you.
Oh,
how
yeah.
do you navigate this?
Yeah, like, all the time. Like, I'll have people be like, you know, I want to post my story. You know, it's similar to yours, but I literally could not handle the comments you get. And I'm like, I just, you know, I think it's kind of just this simple, like, I focus on the positivity. Like, I like that. I get more DMs that are saying, like, hey, I'm 15 and you literally made me, like, want to keep going. Aww. Than I do, like, you know, men saying, like, you're going to hell and, like, blah, blah, blah. So that keeps me going and I just let it roll off my shoulders. I'm a happy person with, you know, my own little family. And, you know, we both have our own shows.
Right. So. I mean, so we're doing pretty well.
Do they? No. They have throwaway accounts that, like, don't even have profile pictures.
So the anime picture. Yeah. Profile picture, right? Those little green monsters. Yeah, have.
So.
That's why I said we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Killing it.
So we're killing it, the two of us. Good for us. So some of the comments on this video, like this first one says, this is why I like queer as a term so much, because it's like I'm some kind of gay. I don't have to update everyone if it swaps or changes a bit.
Right.
Which I think is fair. I mean, it's all specific to the person, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Right.
Whatever you feel is right and true, that's what you do, babe. It's all up to you. And then this one says, this is literally why I just say I'm queer, because... hell if I know any more than that. Like,
we literally just talked about this on my show. It was so interesting. We were talking about, like, we had a guest on who was talking about the phases how he went from, you know, like a kind of like non-binary kid to a lesbian to kind of back to that to now a trans man who dates men. And he was like, you know, like people could see that as like a phase, as like a negative thing, but this is just me navigating my life. Why is that wrong? You know?
Yeah.
And something Arlo said actually after the show, Arlo was like, you know, I like queer because queer just kind of is that umbrella term that I just am non-gender conforming.
Yeah.
And I like both sexes and, you know, and I think, you know, when I was in college, I remember like studying, like queer theory was actually one of my minors. And one of the things that like I remember reading is they like, a way to define queer is that anything that takes the normative head on. So you're just not the normative, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that's like a, you know, what those people are saying is true. Like you can have phases, you can go in and out. And if you want to umbrella term it as queer after, that's your...
Again, it's no one else's business but your own.
No.
Like how you want to navigate it, how you want to move through it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no timeline.
Yeah.
There's no like, you have to know by this time or else.
Hell
like,
no.
No, it's, and it's also on a spectrum.
Right.
So it's fluid. It's fluid. It moves and it ebbs and it flows. It has nothing to do with like who you're supposed to be or like that's society pressure.
Yeah. And I think cis people are also trying to figure out their lives and having phases and it's just not amplified like ours. And, you know, I went through from fully being so cis representing that I like dated a man and got pregnant and gave birth to coming out as a lesbian to now I'm a trans man, you know? And like, this is obviously where I'm settled in life. I'm older. I figured my shit out. But like, I think it's so important for young people to feel like they can have those phases. Like, yeah. It's not, you don't have to be sure by 13, 14, 15, even 20, you know?
Yeah.
Figure it out. Do your life. Date who you want. Yeah, love who
exactly.
you want.
Exactly. And can you imagine, like, if you had stuck to some of the things you decided when you were 13?
Oh, my God,
like,
yeah.
Like, the fact that they want to hold, like, people to the choices they made when they were 13,
yeah.
like who you're supposed to be or what yeah. your sexuality is supposed to be. But like they'll see a sweater you wore when you were 13. You're like, ew, yeah. gross. How could you ever wear that? Yeah. Like, I'm so glad you grew out of that, but it doesn't apply to any other facet of your life.
Right.
It's
exactly.
just wild to me.
Yeah, it is.
And also why people care so much.
Why do they care so much? You
I
know?
Don't know. I can't relate. I'm like, I'm busy. I'm stressed. I have too much. I don't want to take on other people.
Yeah,
like lives. I have. Yeah. I can't even barely manage my own.
I know. It's so crazy that they, like, lawmakers and stuff care enough to literally try to get like trans kids not to play sports. Like, how are you like going to bed at night, being like, tomorrow I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna make sure tomorrow? That 12-year-old can't play basketball.
You know what I'm gonna? That's on my to-do list
yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah,
is to be a bigot, and then right under that, yeah. it's make sure I ban yeah. trans kids from sports.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The whole like, especially the issue with trans. Athletes,
mm-hmm.
I was like, some of these men,
yeah,
some of you were a little too invested in
yes,
this.
Like, exactly.
I always think too, I'm like, if you removed yourself even further, because it's none of your goddamn business, but let's just say you removed yourself even further, they're an Olympian,
yeah,
and you're at home,
exactly, judging,
you focus
yeah,
on that,
yeah,
a couch coach,
yeah,
nice, you know
exactly.
what, you know who I'm gonna listen to. That Brent from Kansas.
Yeah.
You know what? Bring him to the Olympic Committee hearing. I think he needs to give us his 2 cents.
Literally.
I'm so interested what he has to say. Bring
yeah.
him on down.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that. Oh my.
It's absolutely insane.
The space that like the LGBTQI plus takes up in
these
some
people's
men's heads.
And you know, I always say the same thing when it's like, especially a man that's doing the commenting.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's something. Something going on in your...
That's what I'm saying. I yeah. talked about it with Isaiah. I was like, listen.
Every single time, I swear, I know, like, deep down, they're just like, man, I wish I could date men, or I wish, you know, yeah.
Listen.
Why do we always see, like, the most conservative politicians end up coming out and, like, they were, like, caught at, like, a gay bar, or, like...
Listen, if the shoe fits, babe.
Exactly.
It's, if it happens multiple times, mm-hmm. that's what we call a pattern.
Yep.
That's what we call an established behavior, babe. Yeah. We can predict how the story ends mm-hmm. from there. Oh my gosh, just absolutely, I'll never understand. I'm like, y'all have clearly don't have jobs because yeah. this is all you'd be worrying about.
Step one, go get a job.
There you go.
Upload your application on Indeed. It's free.
Right.
Zero cost.
Yeah, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Now, all that time you're online,
yeah.
let's switch over to
instead
a job
instead of
site.
Commenting on a 14-year-old's, trans 14-year-old's Instagram, fucking yeah. upload your
yeah.
resume.
Let's go to monster.com. Yeah, you know
monster.com.
I mean? Let's yeah. get on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Let's like attack some other channels.
Or you know what? Go old school. Print an application out.
Send
walk
it
into
in.
A Starbucks. You know, you have time on your hands.
Take it to a post office, yeah. right? Make multiple copies.
Yeah.
Then you get outside, get some sun,
yeah.
right? So this next comment says,
force you to shower.
There you go. I mean, even then.
Yeah.
And even then. This last comment says, this is such a great example of how self-discovery is a process and you don't have to know who you are immediately or ever really pick a label.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of what we like were just discussing. And I think, you know, something that like people bring up to me all the time, they're like, oh, are you so scared letting Arlo be like non-binary at 13? Like, what if they change their mind later? I'm like, well, then they changed their mind later. You know, like 2 years ago, a year ago, Arlo was dressing really feminine. And like people always put that on me. They're like, they dress like a boy because you made them dress like a boy. I'm like, no, they have discovered themselves since yeah. they were 2 years old. Like yeah. we all should be able to.
Like, believe it or not. They yeah. have their own brain.
Yeah, they have their own brain.
And feelings.
Yeah.
And emotions.
And I always say the same thing, like, when people say that. I'm like, so if I, as a trans dad, can force my kid to be trans, then you, as a cis parent, are you forcing your kid to be cis? Because how
like,
does this work?
They're like,
whoa.
We're not talking about me.
Yeah. They're like, no, it's only if it's gay stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, see, oh, okay.
The part you're missing is that it's
yeah,
gay.
Yeah,
that's the part you're missing.
Gay stuff.
See, that's immediate. As soon as you turn it around, mm-hmm. they're like, well, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. That's
all of a sudden,
though.
It's not about, well, it's not about that kind of parenting.
Oh, no.
No. It's only the gay stuff.
Yeah, you're like, it's not about bad parenting.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
only about good parenting. Got
and
it.
I also say the same thing, too. Like, you know, I always say it's like giving, it's like giving kids two colors. Like if you raise your kid and you're like, okay, there's only yellow and green in the world. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Your kid is probably going to like yellow or green. You know, probably deep down, they're going to hope there's something else out there, but they're only going to say, yeah, I like green or I like yellow. Whereas with Arlo, I was like, literally there's an endless spectrum of a rainbow of colors you can like. And, you know, like just as an example, Arlo's favorite color is the more blue periwinkle. So it just is like, it's like a metaphor to who they are. I gave them the space to literally be whoever, whatever. Yeah. And they've changed and they've grown. And right now they're them and it could be different later on. And they know that my household will love them no matter what. And that's how
and,
it should be.
And that's all that matters.
And that's all
and
that matters.
And then it also, it speaks to your ability to give them the space and like the trust that they know what they're doing and they know themselves best.
Right.
And then I think this all the time because like for me, like my sister is queer. So for me, she's taught me a lot about sexuality, gender, identity, and expression and all of that, which is I'm so grateful for because it helps me become a better person. Believe it or not, when you're more educated, you're a better person at the end of the day because you understand and empathize with people that may not be in the same boat you are, whatever that may be.
I think queer people in general are so great for that. And that's why like a lot of what I do online is because I'm not only trying to like talk about LGBTQ plus issues, but I'm also trying to use them as like an example of kind of things we all go through and trying to give everyone empathy because like, you know, you could hear a queer story and you could be a cis person, a straight person and be like, oh my God, I identify with that part of that story, even though I am not gay or whatever it is. Yeah. And I think queer people are really great at teaching empathy in general.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so true. And my sister's a Sagittarius, which is so funny because she's
love
a fire
that.
Sign, but it's like, it's one of those things too. Like for me, I've talked to people about as far as like when my sister came out to me and how like we, her and I like learned more about each other in that sense. I was like, I always tell them too, it's not about you.
Exactly.
Like if someone trusts you and loves you enough to come out to you, right? It's not up to you to decide like, well, I need time to think. I mean, yeah, maybe you do sometimes, but like at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with you.
Exactly. I love that you said that because I promise you, like nobody says that. Like even very like woke allies, they never understand how it has nothing to do with them.
No, truly.
And if someone is at the point of coming out to you, I promise they've been thinking about that every single night from the moment they were probably like 4.
Yeah.
So even if they do need time to think on it or whatever, like if they're at that point of like coming out to you, the best thing you can do is just be like support them, love them and learn, like you said. And like, you know, I think too, like you said, like, you know, it like kind of bonded you and I think like when someone you know comes out, you can choose one of two things. You can have hate in your heart. You can have fear. You can have fear for them.
Yeah.
Or you can, choose for it to be this amazing moment to get closer to that person.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, when I came out as trans, like, a lot of my family members obviously, like, kind of pushed me away and they didn't like it. And, you know, a family member said to me, like, I feel like I'm losing you. And I was like, that's so interesting because you're actually gaining me.
Yeah.
Because for the first time in my life, I'm me.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Like the truest
the
version.
The truest version. And if you would have seen that, you would have actually probably been closer to me than you ever have been.
Yeah. And it's their loss.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day. Yeah. And I think that too, because I tell people like, has nothing to do with you. That person just loves you and trusts you enough to want to share that with you, which I think is a beautiful thing at the end of the day.
You should feel like honored.
Yeah, absolutely. That they feel like you've cultivated a space safe enough for them to want to share that with you. And that's why I tell people all the time to mind the business that pays you, bitch.
Exactly.
If it doesn't pay you, don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Like, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So I always say, like, if it's not paying your bills, feeding you, housing you, anything like that, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Just be happy for them.
Yep.
Be happy for you that they were, like, open enough and vulnerable enough to share that with you.
Absolutely.
And the only time I think that it's, like, when people get like angry or whatever, I'm like, that's a you problem.
It's always a them
problem.
Once
again, that's on you.
Yep.
That's not on me. Like
exactly.
You deal with that. I'm gonna go be happy.
Exactly.
You can be miserable.
Yes.
Do that alone, babe. But do it in silence.
Do that with a therapist.
Very
please.
Recommended.
Recommended.
Highly recommended. Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna move on to this next video. So this one says, basically a person is doing a sketch showing a conversation between a doctor and a parent about their intersex child and saying that they are going to wait until their child is old enough to choose how they identify, which I think is wildly progressive and open. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be negative, so I'm kind of glad it's not in that sense. But yeah. They're letting their child choose.
Right.
Which I think, I mean, you just spoke about that too.
I think that's honestly such an important thing to do. I think we should be doing it with cis kids. I'm not saying, you know, don't say he or she if, you know, I get so many people are so attached to that. We have the gender reveals left and right. But, which I'm not going to lie, just I can't handle. But,
it's real cringe ball anyways. So.
But, you know, I think at least just giving your kid that space, like we talked about, to decide for themselves no matter what is there is so important, because then when they do, you know, let's say if they are non-binary later on in life or trans or whatever, they're not going to feel like it's this dramatic, like
horrible thing.
Coming. I'm changing these things about how you told me I was from birth, you know, mm-hmm. like when we set standards for kids, they have to undo them. Yeah. Our generation especially has to undo these lots of things that we, you know, were raised with, like for instance, like religion. We have to undo, you know, the idea that, like, this God is telling us what we're doing all the time and we're going to go to hell if we're this or that, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever it is. And so I think it's the same thing with gender. If you give them the space to not have to undo later on, absolutely. You're doing them such a big favor. Like,
yeah, and you're, like, leaving it up to them.
Yeah.
So often I feel like it's everything's imposed on mm-hmm. them. So, like, this is who you are. This is what you are. And that's why it turns into, like you said, something really scary and mm-hmm. daunting, as opposed to, like, oh, I think this is who I am.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, that sounds good to me. I think that's... And it's also, like, how everything in the world is gendered.
Right.
Right? Literally everything. I forget. Who was I talking? I was talking to someone recently, and I was asking them if they had ever seen those dude wipes.
Yeah.
They were like, dude wipes. And I was like, it's literal wipes. Like, they're wipes for your ass, right?
Marketed towards
dudes. But they're only for, they're for men.
Yes.
They're in a black package, so clearly. Not gay.
Yeah. So when when those men buy them, they're not feeling
exactly
a little fruity.
They don't have to.
These are boy wipes.
These are for boys.
For
these
boys' butts.
These wipes are for only boys.
Yeah. And that actually shows too, like, something I remember learning when I was in college too, was that, like, a lot of what people miss so much because their minds are so controlled with gender is that a lot of it has to do with capitalism. Mm, like, it started a long time ago, all the way back, like, before money got introduced to, like, human beings and we were just tribes, women were actually seen, all the statues and everything were women. Like, they were held way higher than men because they were the one, they created humans. So they were like, oh my God, you guys are, like, literally magic. Like, we're dumb. Like, we don't do anything.
Yeah.
And then when currency got involved, they were like, okay, well, I am going to go, you, since you're literally, like, breastfeeding the baby, I'm going to go do this currency thing. And then it became this distribution of power.
Yep.
And so, I mean, we're talking about, that was a long ass time ago. So if that shows all the way today, they're, you know, gendering wipes.
For, it's like the evolution of
it. Yeah, so that men feel that masculinity.
It's wild.
And, you know, like boy razors are blue and girl razors are pink. And it's like supposed to make you feel gendered. And people don't realize how it's actually such a sense of control.
No, truly.
And conservatives talk about that all the time. Like, they hate the control. Well, if you didn't, you would hate gender. You would be truly.
You're like, that checks out. Yeah. That tracks that you feel that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And to your point about capitalism, it's just like that about how purses were created in order to get women to buy them.
Yes.
But they were made really, I guess, like, I forget what it was, just like, women's pants didn't have pockets because women didn't have money.
Exactly.
And they never wore pants because they were supposed to wear skirts for whatever, because of religion and also modesty and all of that. See how it all
goes back.
Yeah, it all leads to the same center point.
Yep.
Which is, again, another thing of how it's, like, being pushed by capitalism too. And that's, like, bags, like, purses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, I feel like now there's kind of, like, a shift a little bit in that sense. Like, lots of men are wearing bags. But remember when it was called a man bag?
Yeah, a merce.
A merce. And I remember, too, like, just recently, actually, like, literally a week or two ago, I bought my boyfriend a bag, right? Yeah. And he was like, he was dying for one. He was like, I could put all my things.
Yeah.
I was like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, you have a thing to hold your things.
Yeah.
Wild.
Because we have to put it in our pockets and we're sitting on them and it, like, hurts our butt.
Yeah, exactly. And you know where he ends up putting it? In my purse. So that's why get your own purse.
No, that's what Francesca says too. I'm always like, can I? And she has like this tiny little purse. She's like, oh my God.
Yeah, he literally always puts things in my bag. So now I'm like, now you have your bag.
Yeah.
I can put things in your bag and you can carry your bag.
Yeah.
And I do think you're right.
We're seeing shifts. And I think, I honestly, it's so crazy because I was literally thinking about this the other day, how it's literally like right now I'm seeing some of the biggest changes, and it's literally like people like you. Like, I think you're doing something so different because, like I said before, like it is so unapologetic. Like, you're so not careful. And it's so empowering to the girls in your comments that are like literally like dying laughing and being like, oh my God, yes, girl, you know, like whatever. And I think we need more of that because I think for so long, even the feminists, you know, were like they got categorized like either as like those, like they're so radical or like whatever it is. And like, I think people like you who are so like people love you, you're like, you're fun loving at the same time, but you're also like changing people's perspectives.
Yeah.
And I think like, we're going to see massive shifts, like, especially with the next generation.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I feel the same way about your content, too.
Thank
like,
you.
Truly transformative. Like, it really is. Like, seeing people like you have a platform, especially as a parent.
Yeah.
With your child, too, is just so powerful. Like,
thank you.
It makes such an impact on the world, especially, I think, other people who want to be parents or they're about to be parents.
Yes.
Watching you parent your child the way that you do is something that will help the next generation be
better humans
overall.
Yeah.
Like, be better people to each other in general, be better contributing members of society.
Yeah, like, and I get, like, young people saying to me all the time, they're like, you know, being, like, young and trans, I always just assumed I'm never going to have a family, and you made me realize like I can have a family. And I'm like, oh my God, that's such a huge, can you imagine like growing up thinking like I'm probably never going to have kids, I'm never going to find love. Like, that's why I always try to show like queer love and like queer families, because it's like these kids need to grow up thinking that they can have everything they want.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm telling you, representation makes me sob, and I don't want to talk about it. It's just so important. Like, and that's to the same point on the opposite. And like for me too, this is something I've talked about before, but like a lot of times people, obviously the shit I say is like, men are like, fat single bitch, whatever. But they see that I'm also in a loving relationship with a cis man.
Exactly.
Who looks exactly like what they wish they looked like. And then they're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like, it's like their whole worldview shifts.
Exactly.
But it's crazy because the gender construct thing, they still like can't bring it in them to disrespect him because he's a man.
Yes.
And he's like a stereotypically big, strong man, whatever that definition means.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, I can't be mean to him, but I hate your girlfriend. Yeah. I hate her. She's the worst.
It's crazy too. Like, yeah, like we see this all the time in society. Like let's say like a politician gets caught like cheating on his wife. The first thing people will do is like, how did the wife not know? The guy's the one that did it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when the Me Too movement was happening, and I was hearing all these conservatives be like, you know, Meryl Streep, she was friends with him. And I'm like, oh, why are we not talking about Harvey Weinstein?
Right,
the guy
like
that
friends.
Actually did it.
She's like friends.
Yeah, it's like
we
the
sat
first
next to
thing.
Each other a couple times at dinner and now we're friends.
And like the first thing people want to do, no, even if it's the guy doing the thing, is like blame the girl somehow.
Yeah, they're
so like
that's
why
you,
you're
girl.
Such an easy target, because they're like, you're the one saying it.
Yeah.
And you're a female. Like, oh my God, I can't handle
they're like,
it.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
I literally got a comment the other day, like genuinely like 2 days ago, and it was someone saying, her boyfriend must be a model for hire or something like that.
Oh my God.
Like, cause there's no way. And then some woman said, I can tell he's getting tired of her shit. How? You never see him, babe. And I think to myself, when they're like, a model for hire, I'm like, just say you want to kiss my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. You can admit that.
Honestly, you should, both the boys and the girls that come and be like, I think you all just want to kiss my boyfriend.
I think you want to kiss him on the lips. Yeah. And that's all right.
That's
but
okay.
I would, and I said one time, I was like, listen, if he were to ever leave me, I don't think he's going to pick you.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. What do I know? Yeah. What do I know? Consider me an expert, I guess. But it's again, it all, it leads back to the same thing. Like, none of them see women as having any sort of thoughts or feelings outside of men.
Yes.
So they're like, women are objects and men are sentient humans that have ambition and goals and drive.
Exactly.
And women are just things to look at.
Accessories. And like, I think that's why they like have to bring the boyfriend in, because they're like, oh, she's not doing it enough on her own.
Yeah.
Let me bring him in and make sure she knows that she only exists because he exists. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And you're like, I have my own show.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. My following on here is amazing, and it's about me and my laugh.
Just like you said, like, Arlo has their own brain, their own thoughts, their own feelings. Like, they decide what they want,
yes,
because that's what they're entitled to. Yes. They're allowed to do that. They're their own person.
I've raised Arlo so obviously like the opposite of most households, that Arlo has almost too many thoughts and opinions. Like, I'm like, kid, calm down. Like, they are like schooling me every single day, and I'm like, okay, well, I am a parent, but okay, you're right.
You're right, but I'm still a parent.
Like, people think when they see us, they're like, they think Arlo's such a mini-me, and I can't even express how that is so not true. Like, Arlo looks for ways to disagree with me. Like, looks for them. Like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, like,
that's
this.
That's Leo's. Man.
Yeah, that's Leo's. Yeah.
Leo's clashing.
I'm like,
man.
Oh, yeah, this is like a really good drink. And Arlo's like, no, it isn't. And I'm like, oh, okay. You liked it yesterday, but.
They're just,
you know,
stirring that pot.
Yeah,
constantly.
Yeah. Constantly. They're so their own person. But at the same time, I love that, because, like, what we're saying is, I'm like, I literally, they have their own brain. They do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's, I feel like, I mean, that's like every parent's dream, is that your child grows up to be a good person, right? And then also, like, paves their own way in life.
Yes.
Like, is happy,
fulfilled,
and satisfied with all their choices, and they don't have any regret. I feel like that's all you could really ask.
Because for every person on this planet, at the end of the day, you go to sleep with your own brain, and you die one day with your own brain.
Yeah.
So you got to be happy with it.
Right.
And that's why, to me, it's so important to love yourself and be proud of who you are.
Yeah, and to watch creators like Jesse and Arlo.
Aww.
Make sure you watch, though. Okay, so some of the comments on this video, like this one says, I wish parents actually did this even for cis babies, like you said. I mean, it's... you said this isn't like radicalizing you at all. It's literally just let them make their own choices.
Yes, that's simple.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it really isn't.
You swear, like, sometimes people swear you have to make the room blue if it's born with male genitals.
I can't handle this.
You have to make it blue. You have to. There are other colors.
Yeah.
You can choose white or brown.
And
or...
you know what? Like, little boys, like, the things we put on them at such a young age, and obviously little girls, but like pink and princesses and girly and dainty and boys climbing trees and getting dirty and skin knees and likes guns and all this stuff. It's like, what are we doing? This is so weird.
If you look at it from the outside, that's
it's
so weird.
It's so weird.
That's so strange.
And my little nephew, like, kind of because my sister, you know, knowing me, like, raised him very gender neutral. Like, he still has boy things, and they're not like radical in any way, but one day he's in an Elsa costume, and then the next day he's in a Ninja Turtles costume, you know? Like, let them just like
them
things
themselves. Like, let them do what they want. They'll figure it out. Trust that they will, because you're a good parent.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that too.
Yeah.
And then this next comment says, I can't even imagine a situation where you don't even feel supported or understood by professionals. Right, so like doctors, obviously.
Right.
And again, it's because of things like patriarchy, misogyny, toxic masculinity,
capitalism. It's all intertwined in it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as a trans person, like, having to, because I haven't legally changed my name or gender yet, like, so, like, when I go to, like, the doctor, I have to use those things, and then instantly, like, be like, okay, no, I go by he, him, I go by Jesse, and I have experienced so many, like, awkward, horrible things,
God,
like, in
I
a doctor's
imagine.
Office, or, like, a pharmacy. I, like, had a pharmacist be, like, yell in front of everyone, like, why do you need testosterone? You're a girl. And I was like, are you kidding? This is 2021 at the time, you know?
In a professional medical field.
It's crazy.
With no semblance of understanding, empathy,
education. And it's not like they don't, come on, like, you know, trans people exist.
Yeah,
like,
okay, you're gonna make me like play this game with you. Like, I have to be the one to break the news to you.
Exactly. And like, I'm lucky, like, I have the LGBT center here, but so they're like so about like getting your pronouns straight and all that. But I feel, you know, so many people in this country don't have that.
Yeah.
And so
they don't care to try and learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked about this too with my friend Cirrus, but we were talking about pronouns, and I was literally saying, like, do you know how like violently bigoted you have to be for that to like hinder your everyday life, like alter, like, they, someone tells you like, this is what I go by, and you're like, nope,
Yeah.
That's deranged behavior. Like,
it's so crazy to me.
Something's off of
here. Yeah, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. So many people, when I started going by he, him, were flat out like, no, I will not say that. And I was just like, why?
What does it cost you?
It's so easy, you know?
You're like, okay. Like,
yeah. And I get it for people who like knew me by like she, her for, you know, so many years and it was an adjustment. Like, I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like flat out just being like, nah, you know, I'm not even going to try.
No, I don't think I will.
Yeah, and just going to say.
And they want you to be okay with it.
Yeah, and like especially like as far in my transition as I am now and I'm around those people, I'm like, where? Where's the she? I don't get this. Even
from the start to right now,
yeah,
it's a choice that you're making. Yes. You're intentionally being ignorant
exactly.
and transphobic. Yeah. And for what? For who? Who are you performing for? No one's here. Yeah. It's just you and I.
And then I also, like, when Arlo told me so casually, you know, I want to go by they, them. We're literally on our way to the Grove, on our way to the movie, and they were like, you know, I want to go by they, them. I instantly, when we got to the Cheesecake Factory, when they asked, I was like, oh, yeah, they want
that,
you know?
I love that Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, it's the best one.
That one's so
good. It's so good. Arlo loves it. And I was like, oh, yeah, they want this chair. And Arlo looked at me because it was, like, instantaneous. I didn't even have to mess up. And then that hit my brain because I was like, why did it take so many people in my life to... so long and still they're not doing it, you know, 2.5 years later. I'm like, because for a second I was like, maybe it is just like that adjustment. And I was like, no, because I said she, her for Arlo for 13 years.
Yeah.
And then overnight it was they, them.
And it interesting. Cost you nothing. Really.
Cost me nothing.
And it's so impactful for them. So
oh my God. Their little look up at me when I did that, like, I was like, that was it alone for me, you know?
That makes me want to cry. Yeah. Oh my God, I love that so much. It's again, another thing, like, that's an intentional, that's a choice you're making.
Yep.
To be a 100%. Terrible person, you're choosing to act that way.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with you, man. Like, I think that all the time. I'm like, you need help.
Yeah.
You need professional
for
help.
For a pronoun? Yeah, it's like, we're stripping it down to the most bare minimum, and like, you're struggling.
Yeah, and also, it also lends itself towards, like, when they go off the rails and they're like, they're trying to force me to, like, no one, you asked me and I told you.
Yeah.
And then you also think too, not everyone, obviously, like, if someone's known you your whole life and if they slip up, they're gonna be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that.
Totally.
And no one's gonna jump up your ass for that.
That's like, never happened.
If you, I think about it all the time. I'm like, you're fantasizing and like making up these fake scenarios. What if?
Never existed.
Yeah. What if this? What if the sky fell tomorrow? Yeah. Like, we could sit here all day and do that. None of those things have ever happened.
Like, even
that's all
like
that matters.
The like gendered bathroom issue, and I'm like, would you want me in the girls' bathroom? Like, if I walked into the girls' bathroom, they would be like, holy, like,
they'd be like, excuse me,
can you leave? Like,
yeah.
You know, I always think that, like, why are you sitting there at night worried about like me going in the boys' bathroom?
Yeah. Why are you thinking?
And
about
then they
that?
Always are like, it's dangerous. I'm like, it literally has never happened where like a trans person has like hurt someone
ever.
In a bathroom ever
in the history of time.
Yeah.
And on top of that, even okay, let's say that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Let's just humor you for a second.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do anything?
Yeah.
Because you don't do anything with cis people get assaulted
all the time.
You sit and you watch. So, or sometimes you participate.
Yes.
So who's to say you're gonna jump in and be a savior then?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're gonna turn into like the defender of women.
Exactly. When the like Me Too movement was happening, they were like, poor men, they have to be so careful in the workplace
afraid.
Now. They're so afraid. How can they live? And then like a trans person goes in the bathroom and they're like, oh, I'm so
They're
worried
like, I'm
for women.
I'm quitting my day job and I'm standing outside this bathroom all day.
Exactly.
No one's coming in here.
Quitting, sitting on my couch, and I'm just going to tweet about
the bathrooms.
Yeah, that's all
I'm doing.
I'm clocked in.
Yeah. I'm never going back to work. This is all I'm doing.
Which is really shows where the issues lie, right?
Exactly. Well, it's very telling.
Yeah.
Like, you don't actually care.
Yeah.
I say that all the time, especially about when men try to, like, with me specifically, they'll try to be like, oh, you don't care about male victims, or you don't care about this and you don't care about that. I'm like, let's stop sitting here pretending like you give a shit about victims.
Exactly.
Because you don't.
Because
if you did, you would care about all victims.
Mm-hmm.
Not just when you can use it to further your misogynistic agenda.
Exactly.
Like, you can hold that and use it to repress women further.
Yeah.
That means you don't actually care.
Exactly.
It's like
you just hate women.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, but like, admit it. And
yeah,
I feel
least,
like life will
at
be
At least
easier.
Own it.
That's what I say that all the time. I'm like, when it comes to bigots, like, just outright.
Yep.
I, there's a little bit more respect in there from me because I'm like, at least you know.
Yeah.
When you pretend and it's hidden under this guise of like protecting people.
Yeah, like, I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
I'm one of the good ones. Yeah. I'm worried about you.
Yeah.
Since when?
Yeah.
And I said, and as they worry about women in that sense, but that's why I said they don't worry about me getting death threats from random ass dudes. Yeah. They're like, well, that's different.
And I also hate the whole, like, I understand, like, male victims, and I think this is an issue, but it's when you're comparing it to, like, the female thing, I'm like, this has been going on for so long.
It's, like, and disproportionate.
It's so disproportionate that, like, what are we talking about right now? Like, yeah, of course, that's a problem. Yeah. But really, at the end of the day, the common denominator is that it's men who are doing both.
Yeah,
the victimizing.
Yep.
So what are we talking about? They're trying to defend men in doing this when really, if the people who are doing the assaulting in both cases are men, they miss the whole point right over their head.
Turns out you're the root of all evil. Yeah. Huh? So I literally said that before, like, especially when it comes to, like, abuse, right? Yeah. You know how, like, some shit-ass dudes will be like, equal rights, equal fights, or whatever. Yeah. Like, well, if women want to do this, then we should be allowed to hit you. First of all, why is that the only thing you're thinking about? Assault?
Like, why is that on your mind?
Why is that the first? Okay, then come over here, and I'm gonna punch you in the face.
I get one good punch
as hard as I can, and that's in the name.
You
of
want
the
rights?
Yeah, you want rights? Come over here and get them.
It's like violence is all they can like go
and
back to.
That's unhinged.
Yeah,
check it out. Right, go to a doctor. Yeah. But on top of that, I think too, like, when it comes to like fighting or like any sort of, there are male victims who get hit.
Yeah.
Yes. No one has ever said those don't exist. Yeah. Only women do. Like, no one's ever said that.
Yeah.
So when you only bring it up to counter when women talk about being assaulted, then you don't actually care
about
who gets assaulted. Yeah. That's why I was saying it's not in the absence of men getting assaulted. It means there's a disproportionate amount of women who get assaulted far more than men get falsely accused or also abused. So that's why I'm like, it's
and if it's the issue of like victims at hand, then why aren't you focusing on who's doing the assaulting? Men. Why aren't you focusing on that? Let's go to the start, you know?
Yeah, okay, well, let's start from ground zero, then.
From ground zero. If we start there, maybe we can actually fix some shit in society versus victim blaming and trying to, you know, like...
Just combat every argument with, like, what about this?
What about me?
Yeah, what about me? I'm like, no one cares about you.
Yeah.
That's why I always think, I'm like, well, has that ever happened to you? No.
Mm-hmm.
Then what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Why are you only bringing that up when I'm talking about women?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of the same thing too when men are being really fat phobic towards women. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, what about me when I get made up for being short? What about it?
Yeah.
And I think like you're not oppressed because you're 5'3", bro. That's you don't get oppressed. You don't lose out on opportunity.
Yes.
You get a good razz every now and then. Is that the same thing as almost being killed because doctors won't take your medical diagnosis seriously?
Exactly.
No. So like, what are
and
we talking
you,
about?
If anything, like even like you talk about like, you know, a workforce and stuff, like you see a lot of really short CEOs. So clearly they're thriving.
I think they're doing well.
Yeah, they're doing well.
I mean, look at those two brothers on, what's it called? Selling Sunset. Look at those. I saw those dudes in real life. They're like 5'1".
Yeah.
Easily. Like
killing it in life.
And they're doing just fine.
Yeah.
They're making money. They're dating.
Exactly.
Dating women far taller than them.
Right.
So I was equating being short to like being trans.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, we both, he's like, I get it, because we both have it hard.
Yeah.
It's like, it's in any way, shape, or form the same.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what about me when I'm short?
Yeah, exactly.
What about it?
What about it? they can't even comprehend, like, what, like, someone like me goes through to get where I am.
And not even.
Like, but girls, they say I'm too short on my dating app. I'm like, oh. Same thing.
Someone call the government.
Yeah.
Honestly, we need to get...
Same thing as, like, me walking, like, in a group of, like, men who can tell I'm trans and, like, actually fearing for my life. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two are the same.
Yeah, they're the same.
Those are the same. When
similar.
Women are like, oh, I would like to date someone taller and then fearing for your actual life. Yeah, those are the same. For sure. For sure they are. That's a no, they aren't. Go to therapy once again. So that's, like, I guess, like, honestly... Just the best conversation with you because I learn so much from you all the time, but
same.
Even more so now. But what is it something that you want everyone to know, whether it's being about, you know, acknowledging trans people, uplifting them, being a parent, like being a parent to a non-binary child? Like, what's something that you just really want people to know?
I think I just want people to kind of like leave this with, you know, I think we highlight the differences a lot in order to show similarity. So like, you know, people always come at me as, you know, like commenting negative things about who I am. Like, oh, I've changed like my body. I've changed these things. Like I'm not a real man. But what I really want people to know about trans people especially because I know like young people are listening and watching, is that we're actually more similar to you than different.
You could ever imagine.
And we're all just humans existing. Yeah, going through phases. Yeah, changing things about us. We all change things about us.
Yeah.
We all, the clothing we wear, everything we do is all just to make us feel better when we look in the mirror, to make us feel better when we go to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
And when you amplify those similarities, I think it can actually like bring people together more than it can, you know, separate us.
Yeah. So. And it's also, it's something that like, I feel like really opens your eyes.
Yes.
Like when you learn more from people like you, when you follow creators like you, like Arlo, you learn that there's much more to life than focusing so hard on like what other people are doing and who they're loving and how they choose to express themselves, gender expression and gender identity as a whole. There's so much more life to live and love to receive.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth the time and energy to get mad at someone on the internet because they're doing something you're not really that familiar with.
Exactly. And I, my motto for life, like this is something like I learned when I got older, and I do this in my relationship, I do this in everything, is choose love. And I promise, if you're like listening right now and you're someone who like comments negative things, in that moment, remind yourself, choose love. And I promise your whole life will change.
For the better.
For the better.
For
in your love life,
better.
In your, you know, family life, in your friendships, in your online life, whatever it is, choose love.
Absolutely.
That simple.
That's so true. And I, and just like one more story, I had a dude once make a video about me, and he told me that if I, if he had seen me or found me like 2-3 years ago, he said he would have hated me. But he said he realized like he was so unhappy. Like he was unhappy with who he was, where he was at in life, his love life, everything. And he said he read a book and he heard about like the dog and the nail story. Have you heard this story?
No.
It's basically a story about like a dog that sits in the same spot every day and there's a nail. And it, every time he sits down, it, it hurts him, it pokes him. So he yelps out, but then he just continues to sit there.
Right.
So someone asked, why does the dog keep sitting there if it hurts? And then he said, because it doesn't hurt enough just yet. So like it hurt, it got to a point where it hurts so much that he's like, I have to do something because I'm unhappy.
Right.
And so he started reading more and speaking to more women. He started talking to more LGBTQ plus people. He started learning and reading and educating himself. And then he realized why he was so unhappy is because he hated himself.
Exactly.
At the very end of the day, he hated himself more than anyone else, anyone on the internet or anything. So he basically stitched my video and made a video about me because he was saying like people like her are important because it's gonna, it's, you're never gonna listen until it hurts too much.
Absolutely.
And then you're gonna have to change. You're gonna have to look at yourself, or you're gonna fold and leave and bitch out like like most of them do. But some of them might learn and decide for themselves like, and I don't want to be like this anymore.
Yeah, and like what we've said this whole time, like if you're truly happy on the inside, like you're not gonna be a hater.
No.
It's like, you know, I hate to like quote Legally Blonde, but like happy people do not kill their husbands. You know what I mean? Like it's,
they just don't.
Yeah, they just don't. So it's like, I feel like when you have that inner peace, it's going to obviously make everything else in your life so much better.
Absolutely. You attract what you put out into
Hell
the world.
Yeah.
I believe that 100%. We both know that.
Yes, we both know that.
Because once again, we're doing pretty well.
We're doing pretty good.
I'm so happy I got to talk to you today.
I adore you.
You're so smart and amazing. Where can everybody find you?
So everyone can find me on all social media platforms at Jesse Solli, J-E-S-S-E-S-U-L-L-I.
Beautiful. And make sure you follow Jesse and learn and open your eyes and your heart. And I promise it, it'll be worth it. I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Thank you so much for coming.
I'm so honored.
Please tell Arlo I'm so, so inspired by that.
I will.
I'm
be so
trying
excited.
To be like Arlo every day, honestly.
Honestly, that's what most people should do.
Yeah,
everyone
I
should have
so.
A little Arlo poster in their
I'm,
house.
I have an altar. It's just Arlo at the top. And then right below Arlo is you and Francesca.
Oh, hell
my parents.
Oh, our new baby.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
I adore you. And thank you all for watching. This is officially the end of season one of the Comment Section Show. I want to thank you all for joining me this season. Don't worry, we'll be back for a season two. If you want to check out new episodes of the Comment Section Show, and by new, I mean old because this is the end of season one anyways, you can watch them on the Past Your Bedtime YouTube channel. They drop every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the new season, not this one. And you can also stream all the episodes on all our streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, you name it, whatever. Go find me. Thank you all for watching, and thank you for watching this season. I adore you all. I'll see you very soon. Bye!